Question, and for those younger ones, we are in the middle of doing a deeper dive on the seven letters. Okay, for the rest of the class, where do we find, what chapters do we find the seven letters? Chapter what? 2 and 3. So open up your Bibles, grab your Bibles. We're going to kind of get into this. And it may be easier or harder for you younger ones because actually what we're doing is I'm trying to do a little bit less teaching for these 2 weeks and let you guys do some digging and find the patterns that we see within the seven letters in chapter 2 and 3. And we started doing that. We were writing these observations last week right here that was erased, and that's fine because I captured them down here on a piece of paper, this thing. This is not called a piece of paper, this is called a technology thing. Okay, so we said there's seven letters to seven churches from Jesus. Can you guys in your little groups identify the similarity in parts of each of the letters, chapters 2 and 3? You guys found, number one, every letter has an address or a greeting, right? What would be the indication that there is a greeting? What does it say? It says what? Say it out loud, guys. Come on. To the whatever, right? To the church here. To the, okay? And so we see that. But specifically, it says to the what?
Angel.
Angel, right? Powerful, I think really fascinating. We've been talking about, I just don't know whether or not God has assigned an angel to every church, but each of the letters are assigned to that angel of the church. And we saw that there's a difference between the angels and the churches in the symbolism. What is the symbolism in chapter 1 that you saw, which represents the angels, and what is the symbol that represents the church? Do you guys remember? In chapter 1, what does it say? It says a lampstand. And the lamps, there are seven lampstands, and the seven lampstands are what? What does it say in chapter 1?
Seven churches.
Are the seven churches. But he does he hold the seven lampstands? Look at chapter 1. What verse, brother? Okay, you're just remembering it. Okay. Greetings. Let's see. I'm like taking over your phone here. Right? Help me, verse 12. I'm reading Daniel's phone upside down. Okay, so verse 12, it explains the what is the lampstands. Does he hold the seven lampstands in his hands? What does it say? He holds what in his hands? Seven stars. And what are the seven stars? The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, right? So we see the symbols in Revelation beginning, and now we get to understand each of the letters are being written to the angel of the church. Now, again, I think it could go both ways too, right? Okay, so I don't think there's a definitive that there's an angel for every church, but we at least see what we're seeing in the scripture. I'm not taking a super deep theological dive here. The second thing you guys found was after the address or greeting, you always found a what? What else did we see in as a pattern in the letters? We saw a description. A what?
From.
A from, okay? Dr. Wong's very simple. A from, meaning who it's from. But specifically, we were pointing out that when we looked at the from, it was actually what Daniel said here. It's giving a description of who Jesus is, right? So we saw that. We saw a title or attribute of Jesus, the Son of Man. The words of, it would start the pattern, the words of, and all these descriptors. We're going to take a look at it in just a moment. Then you guys notice that there was a commendation in every section, an approval, maybe an encouragement. And we saw with the words beginning, I know your works. I know what you're doing. I know that you remain steadfast. I know, okay? And Jesus is saying in his letter, hey, church, I know you're doing a great job in this and that. And we're going to find out the other ones later today, okay? But I don't even know. Okay, so we saw the angel. Okay, so we saw this. These are the different attributes or titles of Jesus. We see chapter 2, verse 1. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Interesting. If you have your Bibles open. To Smyrna, he says, it's from the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Who is this describing? The author, Jesus, of this of these seven letters. To the church of Pergamum. Say Pergamum. Pergamum. The words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 12. Thyatira. The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. The words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Philadelphia, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. That's the definitiveness of God, right? That's his sovereignty. We talked about that last week a little bit. And to the last church, Laodicea, say that together, Laodicea. Let's say that together, Laodicea. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Now, for those of us who have been in the class for some time, look at these descriptors. Does it remind you of anything? Does it remind you of anything? You can use your Bible. That's a hint. Does it remind you of anything? Some of these phrases, first and the last, eyes like a flame of fire, feet are like burnished bronze. Did we see this somewhere?
The beginning of the
beginning of the letter. This is what John wrote down when he saw the image of Jesus. Right? And what was his response? Daniel, do you remember what his response was?
Did he collapse or fall?
He collapsed. Okay? If you go to chapter 1, a lot of these phrases are in there. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show to his servants. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Okay, usually there's a lot of references to the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord. We talked about it last Sunday when I preached the sermon on the shepherds. When Moses saw the angel of the Lord, there was a message from the Lord. But actually, it was the angel of the Lord initial, but a lot of times, commentators, scholars have said the angel of the Lord represents, anyone want to guess? Do you guys know? A lot of times in the Old Testament, when they said it was the angel of the Lord coming to visit, a lot of times it was who? Jesus himself. Right? So it does say angel. Who bore witness to the word, da, 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 okay? And then you have all these phrases. Verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Does it say that here somewhere? Right? The ruler of kings on earth. And then it says, he saw Jesus, right? Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of seven lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like what? Burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In the right hand, he held the seven stars. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He went into bear sighting mode. Like, I just collapsed. And Jesus laid his right hand on him. Yo, dude, get up. You need to write some stuff down, right? Okay? I'm not here to scare you. But this is a reminder that Jesus is now ascended, sitting at the right hand of God. We sing these songs sometimes, and that's why I mention sometimes in Holy Communion, we sing it as if it's supposed to be like a funeral. Yes, we remember the death of Jesus. We remember all the sacrifice. We sing the songs of the na da na 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 na, right? The nails and stripes in your blood, and the nails and this for me, there should be for me. And yes, that's true. And we can feel that. But if you notice, our crosses don't have Jesus hanging on it. The Catholics do that. But our crosses don't have Jesus hanging on it. Because he's not hanging on a cross anymore. He died and he rose again in victory over death. And then he was ascended to sit in the seat of glory at the right hand of the Father. This is a picture of Jesus. He's not baby Jesus, meek and mild, the one that we remember during Christmas time. Oh, sweet Jesus. That's what a lot of people in the South say. Oh, sweet Jesus. He ain't sweet when he's coming again. It is Jesus coming to rule and to reign and to judge. Right? The living and the dead. You guys with me? This is our Jesus. He's a serious contender. When we have fears, when we know that there's the demonic, when we know that we have fears in our life, our Jesus is not, oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, sweet baby. Baby Jesus. Meek and mild, my baby Jesus. You're so sweet. No, man, he ain't sweet baby Jesus. He's tough Jesus. He's ruling Jesus. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father Jesus. He's Jesus who has all the power, all the glory. And it's not even at that point yet. He hasn't been released. It's not his time yet to come again. But he's already sitting at the right hand of the Father. Pretty cool, right? So we got to remember that. That's our Jesus. So this was all about that. Do you guys want to do a discussion question? Why don't we do a discuss? Which of these attributes of Jesus resonate with you today? What about Jesus in these things, or even in general, it kind of resonates with you today? If you want to move on to another question, there are some verses that tell us of the importance of the name of Jesus. Here's some verses. It's tiny, so if you're old like me, I'm like, okay, I got to move up like this. Philippians chapter 2 says, God has highly exalted our Jesus and bestowed on Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We talked about submission last week, right? Jesus is all about glorifying his Father. Even though they're equal, he's always about glorifying his Father. The Holy Spirit comes, and we love the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit. The Spirit dwells in us. The Spirit convicts us. The Spirit is what's always giving us promptings and leadings, and we need to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We need to pray in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But the Spirit, in the Scripture, says he glorifies who? The Son. The Spirit's like, don't put spotlight on me, man. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Right? And then God the Father, for all that his Son has done, he's like, all of this is for the glory of my Son. Isn't that cool? Like, there's so much mutual submission. And so we think about husbands and wives, and we think about the picture that God wants us to have with brothers and sisters. I shared last night to the youth group that I'm so glad our church has two equal pastors. We're co-leaders. That's biblical, by the way. Right? The theological term is a plurality of elders. That's what we see in the Scripture. But it's team leadership. No man is higher than the other. And as I struggle through cancer right now, as my family is going through cancer and daddy has cancer, guess who my pastor is? I'm not pastoring myself. Pastor James is my pastor. He's pastoring over me. And I thank God that I have a pastor in these times. Right? He's my guy that I can go, hey, JJ, that's what I call him. I'm like, Joe, dude. Yeah, I got some fears, you know? I got some stuff going on I never had before. And he's like, all right, let's talk about that. Thank you. I need my shepherd to shepherd me. Right? It's pretty cool, though, right? We see that humility in the Godhead, which is really humility. The world says that's dumb, that's stupid. Submission is wrong. You need to assert your power. You got to show them who's boss. But God says love is about submission. And you don't submit when you're happy, because that's not really submission. Right? When you come under someone, it's not like, oh, I gladly do that. This is such an admirable thing to do. When you submit under someone, that's why wives, it's so hard to submit to husbands. Because sometimes you're like, I married a knucklehead. Okay? Like, I know that I'm a knucklehead. Okay? And because I see it in my son, he is a knucklehead. And so I call him Nuck. I'm like, yo, Nuck, what's up? And he goes, well, you're Nuck one. You know, and then some other kid at church that we call Nuck 2, because he's definitely a knucklehead. Anybody want to identify some knuckleheads with me? I'm a knucklehead, and I know my wife, there are some times to submit under me, she's like, this is, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Oh Lord, I'm submitting under this knucklehead. But you know what? That's love. And she might not always agree with me. But that's God's way of favor and blessing for our family. That's God's way when we come under the pattern of submission and mutual submission and love. Right? You see that? Is that cool? Alright. So, Romans 10 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love that Bobby and Susie, when they went to Narin, visit Narin, Susie says she only had a few seconds, minutes, just to try to squeeze out the gospel, and she was tripping through it, but she got the name of Jesus out, and then she was telling Bobby and me later on, at the same time, different times, like, I don't even know, she's telling our class, I don't even know if I got out clearly. And I remember Bobby saying to Susie, but it's in the power of the name of Jesus. You spoke the name of Jesus. You shared the best to your ability you can the gospel. But the power is in the name, isn't it? And she has been she was unconscious for a long time. But Susie said that after proclaiming whatever she did, this woman, Narin, shrieked out. Now, I don't know if she, unconscious people have a pattern of shrieking out. And Susie thought, oh my goodness, I made her mad. And she cried and she felt bad. I don't know. When I gave her a hug on Thanksgiving Day, I said, I don't know about that. A shriek doesn't necessarily mean good or bad. She cannot speak words. She could have been offended at the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus offends. That's why many of us will be persecuted and suffering for the name of Jesus. But the power of the name of Jesus also saves. And a shriek may also be an indication that I can't say hallelujah. I can't say amen, but I just have to shout something out, because I'm responding to the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know. We don't know. But we can hope and we can pray. Amen. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no, I can't even see it, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Right? Why don't you guys discuss for a moment, what do these verses tell us of the importance of the name of Jesus, or which of these attributes, as you think about Jesus, what is it about Jesus that resonates with you today? So get in a group of three, okay? Three, 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 three. No more today. Three. And talk for about 5 minutes. Okay, I've lost control of time, so we're going to come together. tell me one thing of each group. I want one volunteer from each group. Tell me, starting from this group, is that okay? Like, what did you guys discuss? What about it? Jonathan?
Me and Kevin said verse 6.
Verse 6.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
That's something that we both relate to, and that we sort of like want to go our own way, but then God closes the door on us.
Yeah.
Then he'll eventually like lead us around.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, right? Both he and Kevin were saying, look, I resonate with Jesus who described himself to Philadelphia, because these two brothers were saying, oh, we just like to go our own way. And then God just shuts the door on us and makes us, kind of, he directs us in that way. And thank God for his mercy sometimes shutting a door, right? A lot of times we think shutting the door is bad, okay? But many times when God doesn't do something, it's as big as a blessing as when he does do something. Right? You guys with me? Okay. All right, next group.
Well, six also.
Okay, yes, why?
Copycats.
Ken's a copycat.
Just because it describes like the power of God.
Yeah.
Like, he opens and you can't even close it.
Right. You can't even close it. When he opens it, you can't even close it. Amen. I like that too. Okay, good. Next group.
Oh, we were talking about the second one.
Okay, yeah. To Smyrna.
Who died and came to life.
Right.
Power over death,
right? Victory over death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Right? Okay, good. Next group.
Is it the seventh one?
Yeah.
How, like, God is faithful and that he always answers my prayers in different ways at different times.
Yeah.
Especially through college and
experience. Yeah, yeah. First quarter of college, and God is faithful. You didn't drop out yet. Amen. I straight up, I almost didn't make it my first quarter of college. Your first quarter of college. Oh, man. Even my mama was telling me, just give up. You can't do it. Okay. You guys want to know? Tough love. Dude, that's my mom. She's like, just quit. You're a quitter. Just come back. I'm like, I want to. I suck. Yes, you suck. Come home. You can't handle this. You can't handle this. Mom and dad will buy you a used car if you just come home. You can't handle it. I was like, really? It was all a test. My mom's so mean. All right, next.
You said Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it's not our control, but not whatever God wants.
Yeah. Right, it's what his best is for us. That doesn't mean we don't work hard, right? I mean, we see it all throughout scripture, like the concepts we see in Proverbs of diligence and working hard and even pursuing, right? And even making plans. But doesn't the Proverbs also say that a man plans his steps, but the Lord, or plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps? It doesn't say don't plan. It says you got to plan, but you got to be flexible that God's going to take your steps where he wants you to go. Amen. That's good. How about group in the back?
We're talking about number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it sounded like God was really powerful.
Yeah. 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 No one said Thyatira. No one said Thyatira. Just the power of God. That's the no joke Jesus, right? That's like everybody thinks our Jesus is a blonde haired surfer dude who's like, yo man, it's all about love, dude. It's all good. It's all good. And Jesus is like, hey, peace, man. Like he's a hippie. Our Jesus is like, don't mess with him. Your eyes are like flaming fire. Verse 12 or 13 of chapter 1 says, his face was so bright like the shining sun. The sun is dangerous. We talked about that in Leviticus. The holiness is like the sun. It's like holiness is really good because you get the warmth of the sun. And life comes from the sun, right? If we don't have the sun, we don't have life here on earth. But the closer you get to the sun, the more deadly it is. Yeah? You guys with me? That's like Jesus. Like life comes from Jesus. Right? You guys with me? You guys track with me? Yes, track with me? Amen?
Yes,
right, you, the Son gives all the life. But the closer you get to the Son, if you don't have His blood and forgiveness, like, it's dangerous. He's not, you know, what was it, C.S. Lewis who wrote about Aslan, right? What did he say? Huh? He said what? Kevin, you wrote it on my piece of paper, remember? Right, you guys remember? What did he say? He says, is he good? Yes, he's good. The King is good. But he's also dangerous. You don't trifle with him. Right? What's the lyrics by Andy Mineo? Mommy calls him. Huh? Yes, but he says, my God is good, but he's not safe. Right? Is that Lecrae? Who says that? I don't know. Our family listens to a lot of Christian rap. It's one of those in there, right? My God is good, but he's not safe. He's good, but he's not safe. You can't just mess around with God. I love that. Amen, Amanda, with that. Okay, next group.
Uh-huh.
Well, not verse 6, but yes.
Sorry, yeah.
Philadelphia.
Number 6.
Yes. Oh, my bad. Who did that?
What? Why'd you do that?
Okay. Yes.
Rebecca, totally.
What? Sorry. Okay. Rebecca, please.
Yes, so I think that one helps me to reflect that even if you feel the warfare and the adversity coming at you, then you know that God opened that door. And
yes. Yes, God will open that door even in adversity, right? Even when you think that door can't be opened, He will open the door. Or, conversely, as another group said, when you think that door is going to be open and He shuts it and you can't open it, okay? There's actually a deeper meaning to this, you know. Actually, I'm not going into the theological, plumbing the theological depths of that, but I just kind of like where we're going with it. It's good enough. All right, next group. You're stuck,
Well, I got stuck.
Yes.
The part where it says beginning of God's creation.
Yes, yes. What does that mean?
So, it means not that He was created, but He was kind of there.
Right, okay, so very cool. I love when we get stuck, okay? When we get stuck, that's when we got to do a little digging for gold. Usually when you find something that makes you a little bit stuck in Scripture, that's when there's X marks the spot. There's a piece of golden nugget in there. You got to like do a little digging, right? Yesterday I was, I'll give you a tangent. I'll come back to this. I'm all about tangents today. So we didn't even move on to what we're supposed to do. But yesterday I was preaching to the youth and I want to share a little bit of my life story and talk about my cancer and all that stuff. You know, my round two of deadly brain cancer. I just went back to children worship, man. Like this lesson I taught on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, right? And I preached that probably 100 times and different variations of it. And yesterday I was just camping out and I'm like, let me brush up on my Hebrew skills. So I started reading it in Hebrew and I was like, okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You got to say it with me, right? Like the youth get into it. Like, trust in the Lord with what?
All
your heart and lean not on your understanding, right? But acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight, right? And I was reading in the Hebrew, I was getting stuck and I couldn't, you know, I'm so rusty. And then when I saw acknowledge, and I usually teach acknowledge a certain way, I was like, what? There were three letters there that said, these are three consonants in Hebrew. Okay? Yod, Dalet, and Het. Okay? So it's like Yada, okay? Or Yadeh, okay? The vowels are usually on the bottom, okay? This I put on my mug because Yada is to praise, to give thanks out loud, right? It's like visible praise, thanksgiving out loud. But I saw Yada and acknowledged, and I'm like, what? Yada, what? Acknowledge is praise? I got my vowels mixed up. So I had to do so. I'm like, what? This doesn't make sense. Got stuck. So I started digging. Actually, when I broke down the translation, the root of acknowledge is Yada, as in to know. Acknowledge. Usually we think acknowledge as like, I just need to recognize God. Someone said to me, it's like saying sup to God. Sup. Right? Not really sup. It's, but we usually think like, it's recognizing God in all my ways. Like, okay, God's there in all my ways. No. Actually, the word to know, yada, is to know intimately the way a husband and wife know each other. Like the way that a husband, like the way I said in the youth group last night, you guys know all about Bex. You guys know about her. You know she's my wife. You know she's got 3 kids. Some of you might know her a little bit more because you know she loves what? Boba milk tea? But none of y'all know her like the way I know her. Because I said we can finish each other's sandwiches. And we can finish each other's sentences. We can finish, we know what each other are thinking without even speaking. That's the word to know. That's the root word of acknowledge. I was like, gold bomb, dude. Right in my, I was sitting in the office, we were doing cleanup yesterday, and I was in there, and the kids were trying to come in and out. I'm like, I just found something that's like mind-blowing. After 20 years of, 30 years of teaching this little text, my favorite, one of my favorite texts since I was a little kid, is now like, to know God intimately in all your ways and he will make your path straight. It's not just acknowledging him. God wants us to know him, to know his heart. Right? Bang. So whenever you get stuck in scripture, you got to dig a little bit. Okay, that's my little tangent, right? So, Dr. Wong, got stuck here in the beginning of God's creation. What's funny is, if you don't know what language is, you just go to something like Bible Hub, type in the verse, and then you get all the different translations, and you see how different people use it. That's an easy way to figure out maybe a different frame, a broader meaning of the word. Really, this word here, I think, if I remember, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation, yes, it is not saying that Jesus was the first beginning creator. Really, this word in the Hebrew, okay, you guys got to check me. I remember, it's like the beginninator, okay? It's more like the beginninator, like the Terminator, right? But like the beginninator. Like, it's actually saying, technically it's like, the originator of all creation. You guys with me? Right? So it's not that he was the first created of God's creation. He is the one who beginninated. He is the one who kicked off. He's the one who originated all of creation. He was there. You see the Trinity right in Genesis. Right? You guys know that, right? You see the Holy Spirit there. Right? He's in it. Jesus, this is our Jesus, speaking creation into being. He's there. This is it, right? So, Dr. Wong, what did you feel about that then, after you figured it out?
That was reassuring.
Reassuring. We got to work on your EQ here, okay? All right? Josie got to work on his heart descriptions here, okay? Someone sent me a text on my cancer recently. I know this guy loves me. He's also a doctor, by the way. I know he loves me. And then he heard about the news. And his email was just so praying for you. You know? But, you know, I know what he feels. He just can't write it in words. It was literally like a prescription note. Like, heard the news. Praying for you. Let me know if there's anything my wife and I can do. I know there's way more than that. I'm like, that kind of seemed weak sauce, bro. Like, show me some deep love here. Like, I want to feel the tears on the email. Like, what's up? That's so weak sauce. Okay? Josie will work with you on that. Okay?
It resonated with you. Okay, good. Next group.
Number three.
The word of God is just, first of all, it's sharp, like powerful. And it calls out the sins of the world, and at the exact same time calls out the sins of me. And so it's like a powerful humbler.
Yes. Humbler. I like that. It's a humbler phrase. Humbles us. Good. Next group.
We didn't quite get very far.
That's okay. No, you don't have to get anywhere.
Ephesus, the first one.
Yes.
Think about it. They're like seven stars.
Yeah.
Seven girls in lampstands. The power he has in his hands.
Yes.
Stars. The universe.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, these are the churches.
Yes.
Talking about.
God holds all his people, the churches, in his hands. Right? I mean, or he walks among them. He walks among the churches. That is powerful. To know that God himself dwells in us through the Spirit, but Jesus himself, his presence, is actually with us. He walks among his people. Oh, that's deep. My Jesus, your Jesus, he walked with us in the midst of the church. Amen. Okay, next group.
Well, I was sharing with the group, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that as Christians, we're perpetually always under attack.
Yes.
And in the message to Pergamum about the two-edged sword.
Yeah, same thing.
Just using that, the words of Jesus, just to come down.
Yes, we feel we're weak. We feel, and I think it's okay to feel a little weak, because as Paul says, God's power is made, what? Perfect in our weakness. It's good to recognize our weakness, but actually, when we say that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, do you know what kind of power we're talking about here? We're talking about serious power of God in our life. So we're weak, but we're strong. Right? We're weak, but we're strong. Because the power of God is made perfect in our life. If we could accept that we're weak. Amen? You guys with me? All right. Hey, anybody want to close in prayer for us today? I did not even get to, who cares? Susie told me, don't even rush this class. I'm like, yeah, I'm done with that. I ain't going to rush it, dude. We're just going to do whatever we want. Anybody feel a burden to pray? Daniel was kind of like signaling right here. Brother, please stand up and pray for us. That's good, man. I like that. Close it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this this time, this opportunity that we had to come together, Lord, and just to get into your word. We know, Lord, that there's so much in it, Lord, with every word, every verse, and just pulling the information out, Lord, and just maximizing its use for ourselves, for our lives, and just to go forward, Lord, in your protection, with your strength. And we thank you for this day moving forward, and for the days to come. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.